he saw the chayos dofan and the kisei hakavod, and he heard a voice. Yechezkel was given a mission, and he handed a sefer with everything in it to eat. He had to eat the sefer. He eats the scroll. Yeah, he eats the scroll. It's honey. I don't know if it's literal. Right? He's sent to the Jews and Gullahs who are stubborn, and he may be blamed for it, right? So now he's got to stay at home, right? He's told that you should stay at home and only say what Hashem tells him to say. He's got to be quiet. Dalit, he was to draw the siege. Remember on the little rock, he was going to draw the siege and lie opposite it and prepare bread. Yechezkel complains and says, this bread is disgusting. I don't know if I can eat it. So he got like fertilizer coals instead of like human dung coals, right? He got fertilizer coals from whatever it is. Now, here we go. That's
what
I'm going
to do. What's the significance of all?
To show them what's going to be. That's going to be terrible for them.
Already been
this is the goals of Yoyachin, not the goals of Tzidkiah. So they were there a little bit earlier.
So he's kind of like, this is like a co-prophecy of Yirmiah.
At the same time. Yeah, just in different places. Yechezkel's in Babel. Yirmiah's in Eretz Yisrael. But he had already been
in Babel.
It's going to be worse for the people in Eretz Yisrael. And there is going to be some killing.
What's the point of telling people in Babel that in Eretz Yisrael is going to be worse? You should go to Eretz Yisrael
and tell them. It was really for that. But he wasn't, it was also to get the people ready for what's going to be. Take a sharp sword. Tar Hagalovin, the razor of the barbers. Put it over your head and over your beard. That's a reference that the Rishayim and the Tzadikim are both going to be taken down. Then I want you to take a scale and weigh the hair on both sides. Shlishis Ba'ur Tavir, a third of it you should burn in a fire. In the middle of the city, the amount of days that it takes for the siege to happen. You'll take the other third and you'll hit it with a sword all the way around, meaning all around those areas. And the third, you'll just winnow up in the air. And there's a sword that I'm going to empty out opposite them. And that's the simon that at the very, very end, right, the idea is like this. A third of them are going to be destroyed. A third of them are going to go into gullus. And a third of them are going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And that third, there's going to be a sword after them, meaning they're going to go down to Mitzrayim and eventually be killed by the sword in Mitzrayim. And that's the reference over here.
Was there a full third of the Jews were left in Eretz Yisrael with Yirmiah?
It's hard to say. It's very hard to say. But remember that we had numbers at the end. You missed this. At the very end of Yirmiah, we had numbers of how many people went to Gullus around Yirmiah's time. They were very low. Extremely low. It was 25,000, 30,000.
Yeah, we didn't tell you how many went with
Yirmiah. We don't know. You'll take from there a few in number, a few hairs. You're going to put it in your lap. You should take more from there. You should throw them in the fire. You will burn them in the fire, and that's where the fire will come out from all Bnei Yisrael. And that's the idea. There's going to be little by little, little bits and pieces that are going to come around, right, that are going to be burned. And this is a remez that there are going to be little people that are going to pretend to be Nevi'im, but are not really Nevi'im. Remember Achav ben Kulia and Sibkiah ben Mechsayah? Those are the two people who pretended that Hashem had told them that the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar should be together with both of them, and they convinced Nebuchadnezzar's daughter to be with them. Nebuchadnezzar's daughter told her father, and her father said, what are you guys doing? So they said, we're Nevi'im. He said, then I should test you like I tested Hanani Mishael Azariah. And he threw them in the fire. He took Yoshua ben Yotzadik with them and threw him also. So that's that. That's the fire. That's the remez over here, says Rashi. Komar Hashem Elokim, Zot Yerushalayim B'socha Gayush Samtia. Right, this city of Yerushalayim, I put them in the middle of the world. So Yotzah Aratos, there are different lands all around them. Atemeres Mishpatai L'risho. And then they rebelled against all of my mishpatim, and they've done evil in the Gaim more than all the other nations. That's Chukos Taimin, Aratzos Shetzios, that all of my laws from all the nations around it have done worse. Because my mishpatim they have despised, and my Chukos they didn't go on. Now, I don't know if it actually means that they were worse. The expectations were so high that, yeah, they did worse from their expectations. If I'm expecting them to be all the way up here and they're all the way down here, that's much worse from a nation that I expect to be over here and only go down to over there. It's obviously not the best thing. Because you have readied yourself. You didn't do my laws, my mishpatim. You haven't even acted within the mishpatim of the goyim around you. You haven't even acted within a normal way. You still steal, you still take away, etc. I will come upon you. I'm going to make mishpatim in front of the eyes of all the nations. And I will do to you that which I've never done. And I will never do ever again because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers will consume their sons within you. And the children will also consume their fathers. And I will make judgments to you. And I will take all of your remnants and scatter them to all the winds. I would assume that means, again, I'm not sure exactly what the definition would be, but the father is eating the sons, consuming the sons, and vice versa. Is a reference to destruction of whole families. That the family trouble is going to be from within. L'chein chayani, you ma Hashem alakim, this impulse to get out. Lo ya'anes mi tashis mei.
That prophecy kind of repeats itself throughout history, that, you know, Jews would get destroyed in a place, and then whoever was left out of, like, run away and get scattered, whether it was any country in Europe. Or...
This sounds like it's internal strife, though, as opposed to external strife. Sounds court of certain. The fathers to the sons, sons to the father.
Right.
It's going to be from within.
But it seems all, avos yochubani, deserted.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. He said, "L'chein chayaninu Hashem alakin." In lo yanis mitzshiti meis. If it wasn't my mikdash that you were in a town, the choshi kuzayv kol tozay, where all of your disgusting and abominable things got me egrav lo sakos anai eni v'gam eni eloachmo. I'm not going to have pity. I'm not going to have any mercy on you at all. Shlishi seich b'davri amuzu. A third of you will die by plague. Barav yichlu b'sochek, and there will be a hunger amongst. Vashlishi b'karav yibusu v'osayich, and a third will die by the sword. Vashuzul kol ruach ezarei, and the third I will scatter the winds. I'm going to put the sword after them. Now, again, if it's Devar and Rav, I'm assuming that's from the siege, from the people around. The third, Cherev Yiblu, is, it sounds like they're going to die, right, by the sword in Yerushalayim. This third, I'm going to scatter around, and I'm going to kill them eventually. And maybe that's, you know, a third of the third that we mentioned before. Maybe this is a third that remained in Eretz Yisrael. The Kolapi, my anger will abate, and I'll be consoled. Don't know that I am God. I spoke in my wrath, when I burned my wrath upon them. I made you to be destroyed and at degradation in the eyes of anybody who passes by. That everybody's going to look at them and say, what's with these people? They're going to be an embarrassment. What's the words? What do you guys have for the English over here? A curse. Musr for everybody. Meshama, destruction. Whatever you want to call it. For all the nations around you. Right, with all this anger that I have in Yeshua. When I sent my arrows of hunger that are evil upon you, they were destroyed. That I sent over to destroy you. Hunger will go upon you. I will break from you any rod of bread that you have, meaning any support that you have. It will destroy you. There will be plague and blood amongst you, and there will be a sword upon you. So says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's going to happen to there. Now, he's going to go on and say, but however, you should know that all these punishments are there for you to grow from it. And there's, it's going to be bad, but there's a growth aspect involved. And that's what it says in Parak Vav. Yivar Hashem, Eli Lim. Hashem said to me, saying, "Ben Adam, Yisrael, look at the mountains of Israel, aleichem, prophesy for them." The Amarto, Hari Yisrael, mountains of Israel, Shivu Devar Hashem Elokim, Kol Hashem Elokim LaHorim LaGvoz LaAfikim LaGeos, speaks to the mountains, the hills, to the valleys, and to the places. In the end, maybe aleichem Chared, I'm going to bring the sword upon you, and I will knock down your height. All of your gaiva will be taken down. This is the haughty people of Klal Yisrael. Menasham Yisbechoseichem, I will destroy your mizbechos and Yisburu Chamanechem. I will break down your sun gods, and I'll knock down your corpses in front of your idols. And the Tigriv and Esau with Migulam, it'll be in front of their idols. And I will scatter your bones all around your Mizbechos. Everything will be destroyed by Bumbles Tishamana, Tishamna, right? And all the Bumbles will be destroyed. The Maniakaru, so it'll be. completely destroyed. The Yeshmi Yisrael, Sam, and all Satan, all of them, his vehicles, will be filled with guilt and destroyed. All of your idols will be silenced. Your sun gods, all of your deeds will be totally erased from this world. And then there will be what? There will be death amongst all of you, and you'll know that I'm God. Right? And I left over, is that the right word for it?
I will leave over.
I will leave over.
Refugees.
Oh, very good. Those who are refugees from the sword among the nations. These are the stake of as you scatter among the nations. You'll remember, right, that you're just refugees. Osef Agoyim, that I was able to make you among the nations, that you were captured there.
Your refugees will remember me.
Oh, very, very good. Because I broke down their straying hearts that they have turned away from me, and their straying eyes after their idols. They're going to turn in front of all those evils that they had seen from all the abominations. They'll know that I'm God here. It's not for naught that I'm speaking to do all this evil. It's there for a reason. I'm not doing this just down because I'm having fun with it. I'm trying to make you better. Hack at the kapko, smack your palm. Or kabrag lecho, slap your leg. The amar och, a cult wave was a rose based Israel. Woe to all the abominations, all the evils of an Israel. Or all the evils that happened of an Israel. That they fell by the sword, by hunger, and by plague. Harachoik let every almost. Those who are far away, meaning who weren't so bad, they died in the plague. That was the best ones. Vakaru, vakaragipo. But the ones who were close by, those are the ones that died by the sword. I'm sure that also could refer to actual distance, but it seems that it's referring to different types of death. Those who remain and those who are captured, Barab almost will die in hunger. My anger will wrath will be wrathful against them.
He was far from the war.
I would say yes, either geographically or spiritually, those who are far away. You'll know that I got the Sogil Lam, because your corpses are all among your idols, around your Mizbechos. By every high mountain, by all the tops of all the high hills, under every shady tree, under every thick oak wood, any place where you put your sweet smelling spices for all of those idols, that's where I am. And it's easy as the LAM. I put my hand upon them. Right, and I made the land desolate and destroyed, right, from the midbar of Divla, right, all of the places where you live. And at that time you will know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's the end of Parak Vav. Obviously, the point of this was to say that there was going to be some type of a point to you guys going through all these troubles and everything like that. Now we're going to say that money will not save them. There is no Eitzah from the Zakenim and the Chachamim, and everything was Mida Keneged Mida. So let's see. To the land of Israel, there is an end. The end is that they were told, "Vinoshantem ba'aretz," right? That you're going to be destroyed. Vinoshantem is Gematria 852. In 852 years from when the Mishkan was created, from that point on, there was supposed to be destruction of the land. I've said that wrong. Not from when the Mishkan was created. From when they came into Eretz Yisrael. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, 852 years later. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it 2 years earlier. It was 850 years, right? But nonetheless, that was the idea. It seems that way. Yeah, it was 440 years from the times of the Shoftim, 410 years by the times of first base of Mikdash. Ba'aketzal arba kanfos aret. That end will come from all four corners of the land. It says, "Atal ketzal ayach." Now that time is upon you. V'shalati apibach. I'm sending my wrath against you. V'shatich kidrachayach. I'm judging according to your ways. Is meaning can I get even? V'shatich alayach kol tov olasayach. I'm putting upon you all of your abominations that you wanted. Lo sakos any alayach. My eye will not have pity on you. Will not have any mercy. I'm going to put you upon your own paths. So you're going to be among your own abomination. And then you'll know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Marsham Lokim. Ra'ah, the first base of Mikdash was really bad. Achas Ra'ah, right? Another evil, what's going to be with the second base of Mikdash, Hinei Ba'ah, it's going to come. So Rashi says, Ra'ah, Achas Ra'ah, Ra'ah, Shleimim Yuchedos Lamalim Mikol, Rose, Vukorban Bias. The worst of the Ra'ahs that you can imagine, which is the destruction of the base is going to happen, and that's why we say Ra'ah twice for the first and second base of Mikdash. He may fall, but don't worry, the third base of Mikdash will come. there will be a third Beis Hamikdash. Kates ba kates. The time has come. Came the time. In other words, again, first and second Beis Hamikdash. Take it, though.
Does he ever refer to it as the third Beis Hamikdash?
No, because at the time.
It was the first. Right, now I know.
At the time, it was never supposed to be.
So when they built the second one, why did they use these specifications? Why didn't they just say, like, okay, well, you
have Chagai. Because Chagai got a nevuah and said, no, guys, stop. We have to do this. Yeah. That's the only reason why. Otherwise, they would have. They were supposed to. Right, the morning has come upon you, all those who live in the land. And the morning obviously means Olam Haba, the time of Mashiach. It's coming quickly. The lo haid, is that the right word over there?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
The lo haid arim. I don't know how to translate that word. What do you guys have for that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no beauty. Is that confusion?
Yeah.
Huh. There's no
shout of the mountains.
Not the shout of the mountains. Everybody, which one do you have? You have that guy. What does the article say? Zion.
Has come. The day of Toma is near.
Okay, yeah.
And it is not the joyous shout of the mountain.
Yeah, that's joyous shout. Here is the exact opposite of your translation.
Joyous is an added-in word. Like it's got
breath. Oh, that around it? That's interesting. Okay, that is that. But there is no shouts among the mountains. So that's just a scream.
Right.
Okay. Very soon I'm going to pour my wrath upon you. I'm going to empty out my wrath upon you. I will judge you according to your ways. I will not have any pity. I will not have any mercy according to your ways. I'm going to give it right back to you. All of your abominations will be from amongst you. And you'll know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu when I hit you that badly. Behold the day, it has come. Yotzah Tzvira, the morning has come. Tzatzamata, the rod of God is revealed. Parach HaZadon, the sins that people have has sprouted forth. Hakom has come to Mate Rasha, the violence has gotten up, right, with an evil rod. Lo Mehem, but it's not from them. Lo Mehamonim, it's not really from their multitude side of Lo Mehem, not from their talk, but Lo Noah Behem. There is no real desire by them. It's me that's causing everything to happen, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The time is coming. The one who buys you is not happy. The one who sells you should not mourn. Because there's anger amongst all of them. I'm sorry? There is an anger amongst all of the multitudes. Because the one who sells, that sale will not go back on the sale of God. Right? And all of their days he will not allow them to come back. Because the vision on all of their multitudes, they will never return. Each man, right, their life and whatever they have, they were not able to strengthen themselves or make anything better. Now that's interesting, by the way, is that Lo Yashuv, that they won't be able to come back. We know Mordechai came back, and Mordechai was supposed to be older. Mordechai did go back according to the Gemara. So I wonder how the Gemara can darshan that way if Yechezkel's saying, no, nobody's coming back. Anybody who went into exile is not going to come back. Maybe he's saying
aren't there
the people exiled.
Every rule? Yeah, I guess. You know, this is a prophecy against those people who were doing bad.
Against the masses, I would assume.
So you're saying that certain people will be able to.
Mordechai got, everybody got exiled because of the total wrongdoing, not the individual wrongdoing, meaning, you know, Mordechai was doing good, all these people were doing good, but they got exiled because that was just a decree.
Interesting. Yeah, it may very well be. I mean, it's just weird. Rashi says, "Kshiyiglo begolul Yoshev yira oida sada shemachav alam yizabel." Okay, maybe that's not referring to the specific people. It's just saying a seller. Talk about Tekoa, right? So they blew the shofar in Tekoa. They prepared everything. They know like Mochava. They're still going to war. Because my anger is on all of their multitudes. Outside is a sword. And obviously, you go outside, you're going to die by war. But inside, there's plague and hunger. If you're in the field, you'll die by the sword. There will be remnants, you know, the people that are going to survive. They're going to run to the mountains. Kiyoni Ageos, so thank you. Like the pigeons of the valleys, like free pigeons. Kulam Komos Ish Ba'avono. Each one of them, right, are going to have Komos. What's that Komos over here? It literally means walls, I understand. But over here, they're all Homos. I'm reading it wrong. I'm sorry. They're all groaning. each bavano, each man about their own sin. Kol yadayim tefena, everybody's hands are weakened. B'chol birkan tevach namayim, all the knees are sweating water. Kol gusakim, they're going to wear sackcloth, b'chisos and palatus. They're going to be wearing around them palatus, like trembling. They're going to be trembling. Al kol panim busha, everybody's embarrassed. B'chol roshim korfan, everybody has bald heads. Kasma makut chasashom. I would assume it means they shave their heads out of, you know, out of sadness, right? That's what they used to do, right? Kasma makut yashluchim, they're going to throw their money in the street. So what's the point? We can't buy them anyway. Lo yukolatzim b'yom avras Hashem, their money will not be able to save them on the day of the anger of Hashem. Nachum, nachum lo yisabeyu, their souls will never be satisfied. Me'em lo yimaleyu, their stomachs will never be filled. That was the stumbling block of all of their sins. Utsvi et yo l'gaon samavu. That's what it seems like. Yeah, there's going to be a beauty of the et yo of the fixing. So whatever you want to say, right? That is what's et yo?
Adornment.
Yeah, an adornment. L'gaon samavu. He's going to make them into a pride. Something's going to happen for them. And the idols, their abominations are disgusting. Things, what they did, because they put, oh, I get it, because they put all the beauty that they should have attributed to Hashem to their own avodah zarah, therefore I made them into a nida, as if they're pushed away from me, as if they have nothing. When it's not to be out of zarah and lavaz, I put them into the hands of strangers who plunder them, into the evil people of the land, as they would be spoils, and they profane them. I turned my face away from them, they were machal, my hidden place, and priests and people that were able to break through, they broke through the Gedarim and they went in the Ramachalot. Make chains because the land is filled with the Mishpat of blood. By Ir Malachomas is filled with violence. I brought upon the most evil of the nations, they inherited their houses. And I struck down the pride of their strength. Right? And they were Machalel, I think that's what it means. Oh no, and they inherited or gave as an inheritance all of their holiness to others. Kaftam kafada ba. They're cutting off. Their time for being lost completely has come. They look for peace. It's not there. Hoival hoiva tavoy. There will be more and more. You know, different things will happen. Shmuel or shmuel together. There will be more bad news after more bad news. They're going to want a prophecy from a prophet. But they're going to lose. All the Kohanim will have lost their Torah. All the Zakenim will have lost their Eitzah. And that's a remnant. The fact that Nevuah is soon going to be lost. Hamelech Yisabol. The king mourns. Vanasiyo Vashmala. The president, he wears, you know, some type of destructive sackcloth. All the hands of the Amaret will be confused. From their ways that I will make for them, and their mishpatim that I will judge them. And at that point, they will know that I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's when they know how much I've done. This was in the sixth year. This is Galus Yechonya. Okay? We got Galus Yechonya now. Bashishi. In the sixth month, Bakamishi L'Chodesh, the fifth of the month. So what is this? This is El, right? Hey El, I believe. Do we have that? Does anybody say it anyway? Just want to make sure that we're right about that. I'm pretty sure it's El.
Yeah, Chodesh El.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, in the fifth of the month, Yoshe B'Veitzei, I was sitting in my house, and Zikni Yudi Yoshe Mofonai. So, in Parakas, so what do we have?
This is going to happen. Shana Zel Mubaris. I don't know if that makes a difference.
It shouldn't, because Adar will be in the following year. It'll be that. But either way, but this is referring to, he has a vision of the base of Mikdash with four abominations happening. There's going to be a little bit of what he sees about Hashem. So I was sitting in my house, thinking Yudi Yoshe in the phone, the elders of Yudi were sitting in front of me. In other words, we were learning together. But Yubalai Shom, right, and there fell upon me there, Yad Hashem Elke, in the hand of God, by Eric, and to Muskamari Esh, there was a vision of fire. Yamari Masav Lamata, Esh, from the appearance of its loins and down below was fire Muslim Lamala from the loins and up above Kamari Zohar Keina Chashmala. Right? It was like a shine, like the Chashmal that we spoke about last week. And he sent out a certain piece of a hand, he grabbed me on by the hair of my head. And he lifted me up in a wind between the heavens and the earth. This is light number two. And he brought me over to Yerushalayim, the Maroz Elokim, in a vision of God of Pesach Shar Panimis, by the inner gate, Hapona Tavona, that turns to the north. That's where the sign of jealousy was. That's where the Avodah Zarah was put that made God so angry. Hamakne. What Hamakna mean? Hamakna. That provoked him? Interesting. I never would have thought that way. Keenly. is the source of the word Vineshom Kvod Elokei Yisrael. There I saw the honor of the God of Israel, Kamar Asher Yisuf Abikah, the same vision that I saw in the valley before by Yomar Eli Ben Adon.
Wait, so he's flirting with these guys and all of a sudden he just disappeared?
Yeah, that's awesome, right? Well, it could have all been a dream. So like that would actually happen.
No, just reading it, it seems like he's learning them, and all of a sudden God just grabs them. Like,
that's true. But a nevuah cannot be done in that way by somebody like Yechezkel, so you'd think that it was probably a dream. But when Yomar Eli Ben Adon, son not in Echadar Tzvon, turn to the north. I turned to the north. We need Sukkot. The Sharam Yizbeach. Same Alakinah Zevabia. Right. There was right in that area by the north of the gate of the Yizbeach. There was the idol that was put there. Right. Right at the entrance. We have like Ben Adam Aroat on the Mahim Osim. Do you see what they're doing? Twelve Gedolish are based on Osimpol. The great abominations of an Israel are doing over here. Putting the Avodah Zarah over here. The Rachel Kamei Amitzan to keep it far away from my base of Mitzvah. To keep it far away from Kedusha. But Utash of Tiras where those Gedolish, and you'll see more great abominations. Now let's remember something. Just again, we don't want to excuse people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. But just remember, there were two idols that were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that were known as the Kruv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us we're allowed to make them, right? But there is no question, if you would define golden idols, the Kruv would be exactly what you'd be referring to. Okay, nonetheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said he can make them, and therefore they were Mutzah.
There was also other imagery too.
Shlomo HaMelech made two other golden Kruvim and put them inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, opposite the Aron Kodesh. Now that, no one says that that's from the Torah itself. That was Shlomo Melech's addition. And yet, that wasn't considered a Avodah Zarah. I am sure there were other kings there that said, I don't mean for this to be a Avodah Zarah. I had the same intentions that Shlomo Melech does in doing his Kruvim. But he didn't know what Shlomo Melech's intentions were. He thought Shlomo Melech's intentions were, you need a bigger area to be able to contain the Word of God and to give it over to the Nevi'im, so maybe we should make more like it. Whatever it was, they messed up. But at least there was a limud schus for what they were doing. It wasn't they were just putting up Avodah Zarah inside the base of Mitzvah. You see, Pesach HaChatzar, he brought me to the front of the Chatzar. There was a hole in the wall. Dig into that wall of Achav Bakir. I did. There was a certain chamber. Go see what's going on in that chamber right now. Oh, right over here in that area. It's like so cool. Can you imagine if it was happening like right then at that moment? He was seeing it with his eyes. I saw all the appearances of all these different animals and disgusting animals. And all the idols. I saw it engraved on the wall. Sabiv, all around. I then found 70 men of this Canaan.
Shaphan,
thank you. Omid Bissalam, he stood among them, Omdil Lefan. The Ish Mikdar to the other, each man had something that they were going to have as Ketoreth in front of them. The Asar Anan Ketoreth Oleh. And the smokestack of the Ketoreth was going up in front of the Avodah Zarah. Stop right there for a second. I don't remember if Yazan Yahu appeared in Yirmiyah when Yirmiyah was mentioning all those things. I have down over here that he's going to be mentioned again in Perek Yud Aleph. But I don't know if he was mentioned before in Yirmiyah among all the people that we mentioned toward the end. Did you see, young man, what the elders of Bnei Yisrael are doing in the dark? Each one in their own special maskiso, each one in their own paved area. They think that God doesn't see them. That Hashem has forsaken the land. But you might lie. You got to see other bigger abominations. So it's one thing that they put the idol in the Kodesh Kedoshim. It's another thing that they actually worship the idols behind closed doors. Number three, we have Uziel Patsuk Beis Hashem, he brought me over to the base of the gate of the base of Mikdash Sharal Safona that was near the north. Minesham, Hanashim Yoshua. So the women were sitting in the Chabos as a Tammuz. They were weeping for the Tammuz. Now, what does that mean? Rash says, Demus Echad, Shemachamos, or something became. By Yenev Shalom Faris. There was one image in which you warm it on the inside, and its eyes were made of lead. They netuchim nichoma hasek, and they melted from the heat that was inside. Minira ku ke'ilu bokeh, looked at it as if it was crying. Domer sakrovis hu shol. And they say, oh, it needs korbanos. Should bring it something. And they called it Tammuz. Tammuz was the name of the Avodah Zarah. apparently that's in that Rashi. Apparently, but it was something that they brought into the Beis Hamikdash itself. That's what it seems. It says, "Vayomer lai, ha'ra'isa ben adam, do you see this? Otoshiv tirat wevos gadol me'ela, do you see that they're even worshiping Avodah Zarah outside? Not only are they faking it on the inside, they're doing it out in the open. You're going to see even worse."
This people here says that they brought out an actual month of Tammuz and the metal was sweat.
Oh, that makes sense, actually. Meaning in Tammuz in the summer months in the middle of Eretz Yisrael.
The Kara is metal sweat.
Well, it doesn't sweat per se, but there is liquid that's trapped into metal. So it's possible the liquid has the ability to come out at some point and melts.
It melts. It's a melt. Metal doesn't melt. You're making it. Metal doesn't come that hot.
Mm-hmm.
Condensation.
Yeah, but you need a water somewhere for it to condense.
If you take a mirror or a glass and you put it on top,
it'll just get really hot. It's like your car in the summer. It doesn't sweat. It just gets really hot.
It's cooler from the Rambam, so...
Our metal's a little bit different from the metals that they had back then. I hear what you're saying. We have alloys and whatever it is. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not like that. Maybe it just looked like it was sweating. You know, like you can see sometimes as if a mirage. You can see as if there's, you know, shaking or watery, whatever it is. Maybe that's what they were seeing. Well, hold on. First of all, wait. It was lead. Didn't we just say that?
So what?
Lead can melt.
Melting point of lead.
I don't know.
Not 100. How hot can it get?
Let's say 180.
It can't get 180 degrees.
Well, it can if there's glass.
And it's enclosed in glass?
You ever use it? You ever use the glass, like little, you know, put out of my magnifying glass,
yeah, no,
glass and whatever?
They just somebody did an experiment. It was really hot in Arizona last week, and they baked cookies in a car. Like, they put raw cookie dough in the thing in the window.
Did they really?
And after like 3 hours, it baked.
My brother moved there. 118 degrees the other week. 118 degrees,
wow.
Yeah.
I moved
there? Yeah, crazy stuff. He just moved there. I mean, he's moving right now. What do you have? All right, well, tell us what ends up coming out.
The point for red is 621.5 degrees.
Yeah, that's close.
That's possible.
Maybe it's a weaker alloy. Maybe there's something else. 621?
Questions. So are these elders referring to like actual like Jewish like great people like who are doing this or like?
No, the elders were the Kohanim. Those are the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, these women were random people, though.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, this was actually, like...
It seemed like they were actual people that were doing it, yeah. And then it says, Ve'avyosiel chaser Beit HaShem HaFinimiz, he brought me into the inner part of the Beit HaMikdash, meaning, Pesach Hekel HaShem Ben Ulam Ben Mizbech, near the Hekel, in between the Ulam Mizbech, Ke'asim V'chamisha Ish, there were 25 men, Achorei Me'al Hekel HaShem, their backs were toward the Hekel. That's how we always know that you should always have your face toward the Aron Kodesh at all times. Open and Kedma, they're facing the east. In the Beit HaMikdash, by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they were bowing to the east. Everybody knows, right? Where was the Beit HaMikdash situated? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was in the west. So they were facing the other way.
To the sun?
I'm sorry? To the sun as it was rising. And he said to me, how are you?
So the sun is going to the Ra'an Al-Aqsa, facing south. So they're back.
South is where?
Mecca is in the south.
Oh, that's where Mecca is?
So their back is to the Dome of the Rock.
I'm trying to think. Hold on, give me a second. South? No, they wouldn't have their back.
Yeah,
they would be.
They're in between there and from.
If the western wall is west,
right?
And Al-Aqsa Mosque is right there.
Al-Aqsa is the silver one, the black one, all the way in the southern corner.
Which one it is? Yeah. Which one is the gold one?
The Dome of the Rock.
Oh, I don't
know. When Al-Aqsa is full, they stand in between Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock, and they're all facing Al-Aqsa with their backs to the Dome of the Rock. From the south.
Uh-huh. The exact opposite way. That's what these guys were doing.
Right, but they were facing east.
Yeah.
They were facing south.
Yeah, just a little bit to the south. Interesting. Anyway.
Humidity over 35% counts for 24 gallons of water of condensation for every 100 square feet of metal or concrete.
That's not bad. So what does that mean, practically speaking? What does that end up doing?
My car is the actual sweat? 50,000.
But I've never seen my car on the most humid day and my car does not sweat.
I don't know if that's natural metals, but metals though. I think natural metals are probably. Yeah, there's other things on there.
Right,
to keep
the
it from that.
The lamppost.
No, they have special paint.
They're all treated somehow.
They are treated.
Some of the silver ones are.
I remember Carpel telling me about how he painted.
So if you feel the tar
like
outside or
what?
The pitch,
yeah.
If you feel the pitch or tar outside, you can feel it's a little wet or gooey.
Tar is different because tar melts when it's hot outside.
But there's also like,
maybe there's something.
Who knows?
It'd be hard to say that. That's a kind of obvious thing. So we'd have to find something that works for that. Rosh is saying that the lead is going to look like it was melting. Sure, it had something. But I still think that it would probably be more as a mirage than anything else. It
maybe
looked like
it was
quite.
Maybe they put it in the fridge and then took it out of the fridge and put it outside and the condensation from the liquid in the
fridge. Yeah, fridges back then. All right, anyway. So now, I'm sorry, I just skipped a line over here. So what it says... Oh, but anyway, how are you talking about them? How do you feel about the basis of the mouth? Is it so trivial to Bnei Yehuda from doing all these abominations that they're doing over here? Kimalo was arts calm as they filled up the land with filth and violence. They caused me to be more angry. As they're sending, they're passing gas to their noses. It's like they're taking their poop and they're putting it right by their nose and saying, like, oh, smell that. See how good it smells. Therefore, I'm going to act with wrath. I'm not going to have any pity. I'm not going to have any mercy. The Karoba Aznai Kol Gadol, yeah, they're going to scream in my ears with a loud voice, but you know what? I'm just not going to listen. That's what's going to happen at that point. I'm just not going to listen anymore. Now, Gavriel is now sent with a tough, and the Malachi Mashkes are sent to kill all the Jews in Yerushalayim. This is a really cool parak. It deals with the Gemara and Shabbos around Daf Nun Hey. Meikav Aznai Kol Gadol Lemor, and it was called out, God called out to me in a loud voice saying, Korbu Pekudas Eir, all the time for the city to die is now. Each malach should have their destructive kli inside their hands. I saw six men coming from the upper gates as your mafnet safona that was turning toward the north. And the Ish Klima Fatsobiado, they all had all their weapons and their Antijakabisokum Lavushbadim. There was one Malach that was Lavushbadim that was wearing white linen clothing like a coin double that was the Gabriel. The Kesa Sofer Bamasov, he had a quill of a sofer on his loins. The Abovi Amdu Eitzal Mizbeach Mechoshes, and he stood right by the Mizbeach Mechoshes, and that's that. Now, the reason why Gabriel had to be a Malach is because Gabriel is known as the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had to be involved with all these Malachim. As if he was going to do it. Kvodo Kel Yisrael Nalami Ala Kruv. The honor of the God of Israel went up from upon the Kruv Asher Yalov, that it was always upon. El Mithdan Abayzan went to the lintel of the base of Mikdash. He called Isha Lov Shabbatim, and he called out to the man that was wearing the linen clothing, Shakesta Silver from Asnaf. And I was able to overhear him saying to that Malach, Abor Besokhir, go throughout the city, Besokh Shalim, inside all of Yerushalayim. Misvisa Tov, Al Mitzkos, Wanashim and Anachim and Anachim. You should put a tuff on the foreheads of the men that are groaning and crying, because of all the abominations that were done within them. Now, seemingly the tough is because of the word toevos, and that's the reason why, because they did abominations. But the Gemara tells us that it's from the word tamus, you will die. That's what the tough stood for. That's what it ended up being. There was also tikya. Certain people had the word tikya on them as well. Ula'ilu amar ba'aznai, to those they say into my ears, Ivro bi'irach rovi yaku, kill them. Altakol senchan, do not have any pity. Baltachmolu, do not have any mercy at all. Zakim bachur basula, whether they're old, young maiden, tapenashim, babies and women, targul ashkes, you should kill them all. Yakol yishashol amatav altigash, but do not approach anybody that has a tuff. Umini tashi tachelu, you should fear my base of mikdash. In other words, do not kill my talmidei chacham. That's the mikdashim, the kodesh people. The achilu ba'anashim as the kenim asher l'kei abayis. You should start with those older men that are in front of the base of mikdash that are worshipping avodah zarah, right, by turning toward the east. And he said to them, right, referring to, I think this is Yechezkel, who says by Yom Ha'alayim, does anybody see anything over here?
The mezuzah does the mikdash itachelu means start from the base of mikdash.
Start from them.
Start killing from there and go out.
Oh, you know what? That does make sense, actually. I was thinking halal wasn't going around, but you're right. From those in the Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi, with Mimikdashi, those are the ones that you start with. Those are the ones that are there. No, very, very good.
Why?
Maybe because they didn't make a machal. That's what Rashi says. Yeah.
God sending angels. Isn't the whole point of Babel and all this stuff for God to send our punishment through
human beings instead of through Allah themselves?
Yeah.
I think this was the vision of what Yechezkel saw. So to speak, it's as if he's seeing human people do it. We're seeing it on earth, but in actuality, it's Malachim that are doing everything. They're the ones that are forcing it through. The means for the killing that the Malachim use are the people. That's what it's supposed to be over here. Anyway, that is that.
Already?
Look what it says. So again, Tamuz Abayis Umalos Hatzeinu Kalolim Seyu. He said to them, "This must be the Malach. I'm looking at it as a Malach. Who is this? Anybody know?"
It doesn't say no one on the bottom.
I don't have anybody on the bottom either.
Tough. Was this for when the Malachim been destroyed? The Malachim are
the Malachim,
but the Malachim is the killing.
That's what we're up to right now. Oh, this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I get it. It says the Malbin. And God said to them, be metame by Beis HaMikdash, by filling it up with all the chatzers to go with corpses. Say you, go now and go do it. Meaning telling the Malachim to go do this. You have to be equal here. They went and they hit in the city. When they were hitting, so I remained by myself. So I fell on my face and I cried. Are you going to destroy all of Bnei Yisrael and you pour out your wrath on all of Yisrael? Is that what you're going to do? You know, like, Avon Beis Yisrael, you would have gulled them mode mode. You don't realize how great the sin is. It's my Lord's dumb and the world has been filled with blood from all the murder. But your Malach Mute, the city is filled with perverse judgment. Because they say that God forsook the land and Hashem doesn't see. So I can't. Darkem Baroshan, Baroshan, Nosati. I put their ways in their heads, and that's what ended up happening. The man, Gabriel, who the thing was in his loins, he came back and he said, I did what you told me to do. Now, Chazal say that at the end of the day, Gabriel did not do exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to take a boiling hot coal and put it on Yerushalayim and kill all the people in Yerushalayim, but he let it cool down a bit before he did it. He didn't kill everybody that was supposed to be. That's how the Gemara put it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Gabriel, so to speak, that he didn't do it immediately like he was supposed to. Now, how does a Malach of Dechira, how does that happen? Obviously, that's part of the Agadah, so that I don't know if it's exactly that Gabriel is doing this. As you said before, we don't see a Malach killing anybody in our world. It seems to have been that it wasn't really referring to a Malach, but rather the Nebuchadnezzar and all the Babylonians were doing it instead, and it appeared to them as if this was. Regardless, Gabriel came back and said, I did what I was supposed to do, everything was all good. The Aravine Ale or Akiyashal Rosh HaKruvim, I looked and I saw that on the mountain, right, by the heavens, right on top of the Kruvim, Kevin Sapira found this, and now we're going to get into, this is part good, one of the famous ones, we're going to see all about what Gabriel really did and his vision of the Kruvim and the Ophanim. So I saw on top of the Kruvim, like a stone of sapphire, Kamari Dumuskise near Aleim, and then the appearance of a Kise is upon them. And God said to Gabriel, I want you to go in between everything. I'll talk to the Kruv, underneath the Kruv. I want you to fill up your hand, filled with coals of fire, which is right by the Kruv. And the Kruv were filled with fire. I want you to fill up your hand with the coals of that fire. Throw it on the city and destroy the entire city with fire. Again, down here on earth, we saw it as Nebuchadnezzar setting the city on fire. But in Shamayim, it's like a Malach going out and doing it. I've had a very, very similar thing. The Rambam says this regarding what happened with the city of Sodom, how Sodom was destroyed. We know from Avraham Avinu that the Malach Gabriel overturned the entire city. Right? He overturned the city himself. What actually happened in our physical world? It may have been there was an earthquake. It could have been that there was a massive volcanic eruption. It could have been something entirely different, something physical, that in Shemayim world, it's a Malach doing everything. But in physical world, it appears in the guise of nature, as if it's a natural.
The relationship between physics and Kabbalah is how it looks from Hashem's perspective, and physics is the
way. You heard that from?
Yeah,
Rabbi Raka. But that's the idea behind it, and it makes sense. Meaning, we're looking at it as, oh man, another earthquake. Shemayim is looking at it as, Gabriel's at it again. Right, Gabriel went ahead and did it again. That's the idea behind it. Either way, throw it in Yerushalayim v'yabalena and then bring it in front of my face.
The Kruva
omdim yimin l'vayiz
b'vo ha'ish. The Kruva Malachim are just basically what we call laws of nature?
Yes. In fact, I would call that almost exactly that. that malachim are considered like a force of nature, the abilities for things to do it. It's not for naught that we say that every blade of grass has a malach in charge of it that's telling it to grow. That is the force of nature. But if we had the eyes to be able to see it, we would see the spiritual side, which is the malach behind it. And not just the physical growing of the grass or the physical, you know, however it works in the world.
Apparently, but that's the reason why Kilayim is such a problem.
Because if every part of the world, the natural world, has a malach behind it, creating a malach cannot be done. So if you mix two things together, you're creating a hybrid of destruction.
We have grapefruits, we have nectarines, we have all this stuff. And
there are certain things. We don't know. We have absolutely no idea. In a malachy world, in a spiritual world, we have absolutely no idea. The halacha might not change.
It grows. I'm saying it grows. The fact that it grows shows that it follows laws of nature.
No, it does not. Yes and no. Yes, it does follow the laws of nature in that it allows itself to grow. But the same way that, why does a Kaddish Baruch Hu allow Mamzerim to be born? Don't allow a child to be born from an illicit relationship. We allow these things to happen. Nonetheless, the malach that's formed from it may not be a good malach for the world, for the whole world. Yeah.
Like, so to speak, natural kilayim, where
the thing just grows on its own, but we're required to separate them if they're in our field.
But wait,
do you know what I'm saying?
You can plant the nectarine. Once you have the pit of the nectarine, you can plant that. You can combine the peach and the plum.
Perhaps there's a way of being Mekadesh. Maybe there is a way of making Kedusha out of it at some point. But who knows? Again, these are dealing with things that are beyond our ability to understand because we're dealing with Chukim, right? But what happens when you mix things together? The Ramban says there's destruction that is caused in the world. What that destruction, who knows what the destruction is?
Apparently, also, if you open up the book, Raziel HaMalach, it has like pictures of Malachim. They look like molecules. Like the pictures,
you know,
of circles.
I've seen that before, and somebody showed it to me, because I have a Raziel HaMalach at home. Like one of those really, really small ones, and whatever it is. And I hear it.
The only question is also,
who wrote Raziel HaMalach? Either way, regardless, it was for sure done more than 500 years ago, before the invention of microscopes. There's no question about that. But,
I'm not saying this is a proof for anything. I'm saying it's kind of...
Yeah, it is great. It is cool. It is definitely cool. About Kruva Om Nunu Min Labayas. Raziel HaMalach is a famous... Raziel was supposed to be one of the teachers of Adam HaRishon. Right, the Sefer Raziel HaMalach was given to Noach before he went on the Teva in order to be able to heal. Some say it's part of the Sefer Refuos, something that was made. So people use it nowadays for a skula for their house. They say that if you have a Raziel HaMalach in your house and you treat it with respect, you'll never have a fire in your house. That's what they say. I don't know. The Kruvim Omdin Yumin Labayas, the Boa Ish. The Kruvim was standing on the right side of the house when the man came in. The cloud, the Shechina, was filling up the Chatzar Apnimis. Again, this is Yechezkel seeing it from the outside. The Yom Kvod Hashem Yala Kruv Al Misin Abayas. The covet of Hashem lifted off from the Kruv that was by the lintel. The Yom Labayas is Anon. And the house filled up with the Shechina of Chatzar Mala's Neiga Kvod Hashem. The whole brightness, the honor of Hashem was filled up everywhere around. The Kol Kampi Akruv and Nishma and Chatzar Akitona. The noise of the wings of the Kruvim was heard all the way to the Chatzar HaChitzona, ki kol El Shaddai B'davro, like the noise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes when he speaks. So Yibetzavoso as a Ish Lulus Abadim, when he commanded Gabriel to be so way more kach Ish Mivenus HaGalgal Mivenus HaKruvim, take out that coal. Yavayamar is Ofan. He stood, this is Gabriel, by the Ofan. Yishbach HaKruv is Yadim Mivenus HaKruvim, and the Kruv put out his hands from in between the Kruvim Allah Ish Hashem Venus HaKruvim, Yisav Yitin Ochopne Lavush Abadim, and he gave from the coals into the hands of Gabriel. But he got the Yitzhak and he took it and he went. Because I'll say that he took it and put it from one hand to the other.
And that cooled
it down just enough. Oh. But that's the way that the Gemara puts it. There appeared to the Kruvim as if there was a human hand underneath their wings. Apparently, Kruvim, unlike the Chayos that we spoke about before, do not necessarily have arms. Now, that is from the pictures of how you see the Kruvim in different places. It does appear that way, where there are no arms, it's just wings. For example, if you look in Bava Basra, Tzadi Tes, when it has that picture of the Kruvim, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Here.
Okay.
These Kruvim over here, there are no arms. There's no hands. anywhere around there. It's just the wings themselves. In Bava Basra Tzadi Tess, the Kruvim appear as eagles. I gave a shiur on it 2 years ago in Parshas Tzitzava about what the Kruvim actually look like, the 18 different opinions of what the Kruvim look like. There's some really cool ones. But here, there appeared to be a hand underneath the wings. There were four Ofanim right by the Kruvim. One Ofan by every Kruvim. And I saw the Ofanim like crystal. Something like crystal. Mariam Dimus Echelar Batam. Their appearances was one appearance for all four. And then Kashariya Ofan Bisok Ofan. Like we saw the wheel within the wheel, the Ofan within the Ofan before. I saw that as well.
Symbolism coal.
The what?
The coal.
Destruction. The ability of fire to knock them down. That's what it means. The coal is just substantial fire. There's no way to hold fire, but you can hold a coal which contains fire in it. So that's all it is. It's like a twig, like a piece of wood. It was just something that constantly had a fire in it. The lesson of Arbat Rebeim, when they went to all four of their sides, they go. They don't turn. They just go. It's like the way somebody said it to me afterward. Instead of being like a regular wheel, it wasn't a regular wheel that you look at as like, you know, it can only go this way and that. It was like, you know, the ball on the bottom of a mouse. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's round all the way around. That's the way you'd have to look at it. Now, I don't know how the appearance would look that way, considering there's supposed to be four of them. So how do you have four, you know, different feet that are all supposed to be round when it's really one big ball? That I don't know. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Wherever the head goes, that's where they all go. That's what the Pasuk is saying. They do not turn at all. All of their flesh, all of their backs, all of their hands, all of their wings, and all the Ofanim, they're filled with eyes all around. By all four of the Ofanim. As another side note, you ever read Madeline L'Engel? Wrinkle in Time. You ever read the second book, A Wind in the Door?
No.
Wind in the Door is the sequel. It still contains Meg and Calvin, or whatever his name is. Yeah. And what?
Is it?
No, it is done. Right, but it's like a different world where they meet mitochondria and Fandula. It's amazing, right? I don't think I've read this book in like 12 years, 15, well, how old am I? I'm 35, right? I don't think I've read this book in like 20 years. But nonetheless, I can still remember it, but it's an amazing book, The Wind in the Door. She was a very, very religious Christian, and her depiction of the cherub, which is obviously the Kruvim.
You're talking about the author.
Was once at Madame L'Engel. Yeah, she was extremely religious Christian. Her depiction of the Kruvim was exactly this. It was wings all around, right? Wings surrounding, and a big ball with eyes on all of the wings. It was grotesque in a way. And in some of the books of A Wind in the Door, you'll see the picture is just that. It's a grotesque picture, but it's exactly that. That's how she described them based on this pasuk. She also wrote another book that dealt with Noah. That was a piece of garbage, but regardless, the other ones were okay. So, Fanim Lahem Korah Hagal Galbal is knowing. You should read Wind in the Door, though. Wind in the Door is okay. I believe it's a really good book. It's a kid's book, but for the Ofanim, Lem Korah Galgal, they called it Galgal Vaznayim. My ears, they called it Galgal. You know, the thing that takes them around. Each one had four faces. As we said before, there were four faces to all of them. There was the Kruv, the man, the lion, and the eagle. We said that the Kruv took over for the shore because the eagle was up. That was that. By Roma Kruvin, right, the Kruv were lifted up. That was the Chaya, sure, Yisiv and Har Kvar. That was like the Chaya that I saw all the way by Har Kvar at the very, very beginning of Parak Aleph. But let's not prove me Yoko Ofanim Etzlam. When the Kruvim went, then the Ofanim went with them. We say the Kruvim Eskafam Lerumi Al Arts. As the Kruvim lifted up their wings to go above the land, Yisav Ofanim Gamhim Etzlam. The Ofanim did not go away from them. Their wheels, so to speak. But Amdam Yamodu, when they stood, Baromi Yaromosam, when they lifted up, they went up. Kiruach HaChaya Bahem. The Chaya was within all of them. The honor of Hashem went out from the lintel of the base to make sure the Amidol Kruvim, and it stood by the Kruvim themselves. And the Kruvim lifted up their wings. They lifted up their wings and their eyes. right? The honor of God was above all of them. That was the chaya that I saw by Nahar Kvor. And I knew that those were the true Kruvim. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. And I saw that one hand underneath those wings. The way their faces were, that's the same thing I saw in Nahar Kvor from the chayos. Each man went to whatever side they were supposed to go, and that's that. So that's what we have over here by Perek Yud. What we're going to say now, so we saw Gavriel, that was the idea. He ended up chilling out for about 6 years, and then we saw the other vision of the Kruvim and Ilfanim, what happened.
Chilled out?
Gavriel. Remember we said he put it from hand to hand?
Oh.
So there was some chilling out to do, because really they were supposed to be destroyed right then. But it wasn't time. It wasn't destroyed then, because Nebuchadnezzar waited another 6 years to come there as strong. Remember, this is the fifth year since Golos Yoyachin. How many years did Tzidkiah reign as king for? 11. So 5 plus 6 years. It took 6 years for Gavriel to make it to Yerushalayim and pour the coals on top of them. It's an amazing idea.
In between.
No such thing. There's no such thing as time by Malachim. I don't know how to answer that question.
That's a weird question.
You can't answer it. But he did not come down until 6 years later in order for it to happen. Okay, we're going to see a couple more guys, but that's up to Herakid Aleph.